Nathaniel's singing. That was amazing. Nathaniel did so great. We can't wait to hear Amariah and Serenity. You're just a little bit older. You're going to start singing too? And Selah? Oh, we love them. Someone could grab the lights. Thank you. Oh, praise God. Wasn't that great? Okay, if you're 4 to 8 years old, you can line up in the back for Kingdom Kids. Thank you to those who are pouring into our little ones. Thank you, Kennedy. Thank you, Olivia. Okay, we're going to take up our offering. This is our church tithes and offerings. So if you need to prepare a check right now, go ahead and do that. Well, I just say a few announcements. Maybe ushers can grab some baskets and be ready. All right, so if you didn't notice, the Bruce family's here. I feel like we always notice when they come in the room, right? You guys can't go anywhere incognito. I mean, it's awesome. 9 children. Isn't that just inspiring? It is for me. I felt like I was kind of running with the big dogs when we had 7 kids in the home for that 6 months. I was like, whoa, I'm almost to the Bruce status, almost. We just love that they're here. And so they're with us all week, or a lot of the week. So actually Tuesday night, worship night, they're just going to like be here 7 to 9 p.m. just worshiping the Lord. We're just going to make this, I mean, we always make it a sanctuary, just a place of worship and encounter. And so I encourage you, this during a month of fasting, it's so especially beautiful if you can put certain things into your schedule that give you that pick me up in the Lord. Whether it's reading the Bible more every day, spending extended times with the Lord, and then, of course, corporate things like this. So I feel so blessed that they're with us. So Tuesday night, Wednesday night at youth. It is for youth, so you know we wouldn't want like all of the adults to show up or something. But if you have a teenager or a tween, we really encourage you to send your kiddos, to encourage your kids to bring friends. I think it's really going to be great. And we're going to have worship with the Bruces, and they're going to minister the whole during youth group, and we're hoping that some of their kids get to testify and share, really, really wanting to hear what God's doing in your life. Got something to say?
I do.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Right now
good.
Or later? That's all about the...
Well, this is just really cool.
It's on.
Yeah, this is just really cool. Saw a testimony this morning that made my day. It's Mrs. Hofer right here. She told me this earlier. Raise your hand so they can see, everybody see you. She told me that she started, she was like, I'm going to do that. I'm doing that thing where you start at the beginning and reading through the whole Bible.
Yes.
And she's in it. She's like into Genesis now. She's a ways into Genesis. And anyway, just made my day. I'm just so happy about that. So
yeah.
Praise God. I'm just curious, like how many of you are doing that? You're making that a goal. You just start at the beginning and read the whole thing all the way through to the end. Okay, that's amazing. That is incredible. Praise God. So anyway, just totally makes me happy. I'm so happy about that.
I'm happy about that too. Okay. Praise God. Let's take up the offering. Why don't ushers come on up? Lord, we love you. God, we just thank you that we're able to have something to give in this moment, Lord. God, thank you that we have something to give. Thank you, Father. We praise you for jobs, for provision, for homes that we have, for food that'll be on the table today, Lord. God, we don't want to be spoiled little kids who never say thank you. Lord, we want to live in a spirit of gratitude. And we want to say thank you, Lord, for all the daily bread you give us, for all the provision, and that we have something to partner with you with, Lord. Thank you. God, bless every person who gives this morning. And Father, pray, meet our needs according to your riches and your glory. Amen. All right. I think I said everything I need to say. I don't know, that awesome testimony didn't throw me off. It just threw me off. So Chris, is anyone else speaking this morning too, or just you? Not just you, but starting with Chris, okay. Okay. So Chris is going to bring the word this morning, and there's some big transitions in the Bruce family. I think it's been maybe a year since you guys have been with us. Close to it? Where did you come this summer? I don't know. I don't remember. The years blur together as you get older, though. So they've been in a transition, and they received a word from the Lord, I don't know, the end of last summer, early fall, right? The dream that came to you. Okay, I won't tell the dream, of course. That would, like, steal the thunder moment. You're like, wait, I have nothing more to say. You just told them everything. They received a word from the Lord that their family was in transition, though. And this is the part I want to tell. And when they got the word of the Lord, they sold their house to prepare to move with God. Now, some of you, you know, if you've got kids and careers and, you know, you just let that sink in. They received the word of the Lord and they burned the plow. Actually, that was a word you had for them, wasn't it? Like, Winter never given a word like that before. Maybe Gathering the Generals or after that. After that. So we did see you at some point last time you came here, maybe. Yeah, that the Lord was bringing them a word, and they were like, they really needed to burn the plow. And like, that's kind of a heavy word. What that means is like burning the plow, like in, you know, the olden days, the Bible days, that would be like your career. You know, if you're a farmer, the only way to plant seed and work the field is to have a plow. And there are accounts of people receiving a word from the Lord that they're commissioned to do something, and they would take their plow and burn it as a symbol of like, I'm never going back. I'm only moving forward and embracing the word God has for me. And so they sold their house to prepare to move with God better. And that has provoked me so much because of the spirit of obedience on them. And so actually Friday, some of you might've seen the videos. Some of you are actually fasting Facebook and you didn't see the videos. I posted them so that people could see them if you wanted to, but we were at the state capitol. We did an hour of worship on Friday in the middle of the rotunda. You know, right there in that the center of the Capitol where you can look up a couple stories, you see the dome. Right in that center, stage right there with speakers and all the instruments, we just worshiped the Lord for an hour in the middle of our state government, in our governmental seat, led by Chris and Lori. It was so beautiful. Jeff and I were there. The kids were there. There were people from all over the state there just to glorify Jesus and lift him up. And as we were going into that event, before it even started, I felt like I had this word for them, like, you're already successful because your obedience ensures success. Not being on pitch, or if you break a string, or if the sound system goes out, and none of that stuff happened. It was beautiful, honestly. But I'm just saying, like, none of that ensures success. Obedience ensures success. And they were absolutely obedient. It's really weird to lead worship in a place like that. I was imagining anyway. I kind of wondered, am I going to feel a little bit like inhibited? I'm like open heaven. I was like worshiping the Lord on my knees. I was like, I just feel like there's so much freedom here. Of course, I didn't have to be up with the mic, you know, but that's what they opened up for us in their obedience. So I say that because I love when awesome people are doing great things. I love to take and lift them up and say, look at the good thing they're doing. Look at this. Let's follow them as they follow Christ. And it was just provoking me that day on Friday as we were having this entire experience. I'm like, wow, I think this happened because they burned the plow. Like, this happened because they were willing to do whatever it took to embrace the assignment. And so I am so happy to have them here this morning. I feel like they're such an amazing example to us. We just want you to know that we want this to be your home away from home. If it can't be your first home. It could be, though. It could be your first home. We just want to say that. Because you're homeless now. You could choose anywhere. We could have chose anywhere, and God had us choose Huron. He might have you guys choose Huron. I think there's other things for them, though. But why don't you guys come on up, whoever's going first. Yeah, give Chris a huge...
I already feel like I want to cry. I don't even know why. It's kind of funny just hearing her tell my story. Like, oh, that touches and provokes my own heart. So I did a little better job on notes this time. If you guys remember last time, I was like all over the place with sticky notes and stuff. So I've been really working hard on improving my notes skills. I'm not sure I like using the phone for it, but but here we are. So this isn't the first time we've been homeless. We were accidentally homeless in Hawaii for a month or two. It wasn't so bad, but we did. We lived in an airport hangar for about a month. Which is kind of a weird experience. So we tried to rent a home, and it was just, you know, there was a lot of cockroaches in Hawaii anyway, but there it was, like, really bad. Like, the nighttime came, and all the little bugs came out of the walls, and it was, like, they had to, before we even got in, they had to replace the stove, and apparently we found this out afterwards, that there was, like, so many cockroaches, like, packed into the electronics in the stove itself that it fried the stove out. I was like, so anyway, we didn't keep that place. Ended up like in hotels and in a house that my work had rented for, you know, the traveling medical crews and pilots. I was a flight paramedic then. But then we ended up in an airport hangar, which was great because we got a lot of fun time on scooters. We got all the kids got scooters, and we just ride in circles in the airport hangar because the planes were parked outside usually if the weather was okay. So most of the time it was. So we just scootered. We just went in circles for a whole month. It was fun. So, yeah, man, wow. A lot has changed since the last time we were here. It's good to see some familiar faces. It's good to see a few new faces, too. That's always a good sign if there's new faces and familiar faces. You don't want just all of one or all of the other. You kind of want a little mix of that. So a lot has changed. Yeah. Wow. So I think you guys kind of knew the story. You guys played such a important part in just a big part of the early transition of how we got to where we are, as a church. When we went to the gathering, the generals conference, we were like, thank you. We were just like thousands of dollars in the hole. I'd lost my job because of COVID. We're like 3 months up behind on our house payment. Like, we had no idea what we were going to do. When we actually left our house to come to Huron for the generals conference, I had $11 in the bank, and we came home with $10,000. So, you know, it was like Autumn just had this like, oh, we want to commission you, and I was like, okay, like, you know, I mean, that's, it's funny. I look back at many, many times when God has done stuff in my life, and I'm just, and that's kind of my response. I'm like, okay, like, what do you want to do? Like, show me what you want from me, and I'll do it, you know, and that's just like, I say yes, and I say, you figure it out, God, because I don't have all the answers. I don't really have very many at all. Interestingly, kind of a lot, it's been an interesting journey because it actually took me back to another gathering, the Generals Conference, when the MAPS guy was here. Yes, Randy Martinez was here, and he called me out of the crowd and gave me a little prophetic word about Joseph and business and some things like that. And, you know, I don't really have any specific business experience. I was in the medical field, but kind of after I lost my job, I qualified for a training program and went through an entrepreneurship course over the year. So we've had this like interesting track in our life, kind of like a picture of like being on a train. One track is ministry and one track is entrepreneurship, and we're kind of just riding both of these things together. Even though they're not exactly the same, they're kind of what's carrying the load. So in the meantime, after losing my job, I painted a bunch of houses and did some things on the side. You know, it wasn't that I never worked. It was just that I kept going back to my prayer closet, and I'm like, okay, God, what do you want from me now? And he's like, here's a house to paint. And I'm like, okay. So I paint the house. I come back. I'm like, God, what do you want from me now? And he's like, go to this church and do a service, lead worship here, or do whatever. And I come back and I'd be like, okay, like, can I just get a normal job, God? Like, like, can I be a normal person? Like, what's wrong with normal? Like, it's hard to not be normal. And nobody, I mean, you know, I don't know that anybody was really judging me as harshly as I imagined them to be judging me, because everybody in the United States was kind of going through a weird season, right? But I was just like, what? Like, I just like, God, can't I just go get a job and hide behind a job and just do things like everyone else? Like, this is hard. And I just want to say that because it's like, it's there. Yes, there is this measure of obedience that we have labored to enter into, but it hasn't just come like, well, that was easy. I walked into that. I was so ready. I knew it was coming. Like, haha, that was fun. Like, I was, no, I mean, there was a lot of prayer and tears. And I mean, there was one day I was crying in my closet when I had a prayer closet at home. It was a really glorious thing. I was crying in my closet and I'm like, God, I don't even know if I can do this. And as I'm like whining and throwing my little tantrum, probably kicking the floor a little bit, you know, somebody calls me and they're like, oh, you know that trailer we were doing a fundraiser for you guys on? It's in. Come get it. I was like, oh, so, you know, just when I feel like I hit these low moments, God's like, oh, yeah, don't forget. I've got this. There's a thing I have for you, and I've got it. It's in my hands. It's not in your hands, Chris. It's in mine. And I turn and I'm like, okay, it's in your hands. I'm just trying to follow. So it's interesting as we move into some things with entrepreneurship, kind of on the side, a lot of entrepreneurial things, they talk about the why. Why? What's your why? Why do you do this? Like, what motivates you to try and share what you're doing with other people? Like, because if you get in touch with the why, then, you know, you have something to ground yourself in the expression of sharing what you're doing with other people. So if you can get a hold of this, why am I actually selling you this thing? Because you need it, because it's great, because what, you know, but why am I not, it's not just what am I doing, it's why am I doing this? What about my heart connects with this product or item, right? So that's a big part of that in entrepreneurship, but I think we can pull some of that into why Jesus do what he did. Because I think sometimes we really, as Christians, we're just like, we got to do Christian stuff, right? We got to go to church. We got to give our money, and we got to pray, and we probably should be fasting, but it's hard, so we don't fast and fast Facebook, which is good. But you know, I mean, like it's like this is just reality. Like this, some of this stuff is hard, and we know we should do it, but I just wonder if we really just labored a little bit to tap into the why. You know, if we'd have a little more grace to step out in faith to do the what, you know? And so as I've kind of pondered this, because this is a story that it's complex. I mean, we really do our best to look like a perfect, cute little family when we come to church. You know, it's not always that way. I mean, we have really great kids. I don't want to say anything like too bad about it. I'm a really great dad most of the time, but I have moments too, right? I mean, I have my temper tantrums. Most of the time I go to my dad, my father in heaven, and throw tantrums to him. So I need grace from him, and I give grace to them. Hopefully we get better at that. But I just don't want it to just be like, oh, you guys are just perfect and this is easy. Like this is, it isn't, it just is the storyline. There's an abundance of God's goodness in it. There's an abundance of God's intervention in it. But it's like day to day we have to just push through life, which isn't just like I'm not walking on water every day. You know, I wish I was. That'd be really cool. But even Jesus didn't walk on water every day. So anyway, there's this thing. I'm not going to talk entirely about it because we got to get to some of the really fun stuff that we're pressing into. But it's just like this. I think I mentioned the verse last time. It's never really the focus of most of my messages, but I just always bring it in. It's Hebrews 3:1, to consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. And this is just like a life verse for me to just meditate on. And so, you know, I've meditated on why is Jesus the apostle and high priest. And I found this book. I think somebody posted a link to it. It's like from the 1800s about the fourfold ministry is what they called it back then, apparently. They didn't think of it as fivefold, which is actually probably kind of biblically accurate because pastors and teachers kind of get and I think in the Greek they kind of get crunched together into kind of a similar group. I don't really know Greek. I just say that because it makes me feel smarter. But the fourfold ministry. So anyway, there's this phrase in this book, and he's like, we need to be radically apostolic, that before Christ's second coming, there needs to be a company of radically apostolic people that are raised up, that the church can't be who they're supposed to be without this apostles and prophets and the fullness of the fourfold ministry is what they're calling it. And it just like when I read that phrase, it just kind of hit me in the chest. I was like, radically apostolic. And I just went back to Jesus, like the apostle. You know, like how do we tap into Jesus? Why? Like, why did Jesus do what he did? Like, what moved his heart? What moved the heart of God to come down from the throne of heaven where everything is perfect and there's like unending glory and beauty and music and everybody in heaven adores you? I mean, like, they bow and throw crowns at your feet, like everything's perfect. Why would you leave that place to come and become a baby, to like feel emotional pain, to like, right? Hebrews 5:8 says Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Ouch. Like, what drove him to that? And so this is the reason I'm saying this, because deeply intertwined with our storyline in our life is that these things that I've just wrestled with, I'm like, Jesus, how do you do this? Like, how do you get the joy set before you that lets you endure the cross? Like, how do you see that? Like, how did you get vision for that kind of thing out there so that you can go through whatever kind of pain, whatever kind of suffering, whatever kind of job loss, whatever kind of thousands of dollars in the hole, right? I mean, how do you get through that without grasping the why of Jesus? And as I kind of pondered that, I'll get to a little bit more of it. Just on my personal walk, I go to Philippians chapter 3 a lot, so if you want to turn somewhere in your Bible, because that's a nice Christian thing that we should be doing. I actually copied and pasted it right into my notes in here, so I don't even have to turn there. Isn't that great? This is amazing. I might get used to this. I don't know. Okay, so Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I can relate to some of that. I have all that I need today, but I've lost a lot in the last couple years. I count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So I'm reading New American Standard, and there's a reason for that, but I'll get to that shortly. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, not all the translations say laid hold of. And the Greek word is, I'm gonna butcher this. Maybe Judah can help me. Katalambano or katalambano or something. I don't know. Kabam, shazam. I don't know. It's this word that's laid hold of. And so I read the New American Standard because I like how it says that that there's a reason Jesus laid hold of me, okay? And there's a reason Jesus laid hold of you. You're not just sitting here because there's no purpose for your life. Jesus has a purpose for your life that you need to grasp, right? So I started looking at this Greek word. The word is actually used in some places for demon possession. It's like to be possessed, to seize something. to lay hold of the, so a demon has laid hold of a human spirit and possessed it like they own it. They've taken ownership of this spirit. And so a person can't be free to follow Jesus, right? Because there's something else that's taken over possession and ownership of it. So that's not obvious the context for this verse, but in other verses, the same word is used in that context. So also grasp is part of comprehending. There's a mental understanding to this. And then there's like the actual physical, like I lay hold of something. I have grabbed this and I have laid hold of it. So interestingly, depending on the context, this word addresses body, soul, and spirit. So I think that there's probably some layers in there that Jesus knew about when he was inspiring Paul to write this by the Spirit, right? That there is something that God has for you, body, soul, and spirit, that he has laid hold of you for. And I wonder, looking at my own life and then looking out at others, if you've laid hold of that. Have you thought a lot about it? Have you prayed a lot about it? Have you fasted about it? Do you even know what it is? Maybe some people don't even know, like, here I am. I don't even know why. I know that feeling. Like, how did I get here? I have no idea what just happened. But here I am, right? I mean, sometimes we just don't have a clue, and that's okay, as long as we're ourselves laying hold of Jesus, right? So I just want to provoke that thought in you a little bit as we move forward here, because it's like, this has been key to where we're going. Like, I am after why Jesus made me. When he thought of me and formed me in my mother's womb, why me? Why? Like, why did you pick me? Like, you could have created anybody, anything. Why? And there's a reason why he picked each one of us. And I think that is so beautiful. I think sometimes we just, which isn't bad, but we get caught up in the like, yeah, the church is supposed to do this and the church is supposed to do that, and you're only really special if you're in the ministry. And the ministry, I think our ministry, how we look at church right now and ministry, a lot of it's upside down. God's going to make it right side up. He's going to fix this. It's his thing. It's not my thing to fix, so I don't have to try and call out all the problems and tell you all how bad you are. Like, we all know that. I know how bad I am. I know how imperfect I am. I know how I thought it was wonderful that Autumn didn't apparently hear any off-pitch notes, but I'm pretty sure I did from myself. But, you know, like, it's just like, especially with singing, I never wanted to be a worship leader. I don't think I ever, even maybe until the last couple of years, even like gave in to the idea that I was a worship leader. You know, and it wasn't my thing. I didn't feel like I was good enough. I mean, I get a little pitchy here and there. I'm like, forget what chord I'm supposed to be playing on the guitar, right? I'm like, this isn't perfect. And so I'm just like, pick somebody else. There's a lot of better people out there than me, you know? And yet, through some life circumstances, I just kept feeling like God's like, no, I want you to sing. I want you to sing. I'm like, you want me to sing, God? Like, why does that even matter if I sing? Like, I don't have a pretty sounding voice. I'm not at sports games singing the national anthem. Like, why do you want me to sing? Like, and singing has been such a key in my heart to keep my heart connected to Jesus through hard circumstances in life. Like, if I stopped singing, and I did for a few years when I went through some hard things at a previous time, I stopped singing, my spiritual life died. I mean, literally. I was mad at God. I stopped singing. I stopped playing my guitar for like 4 years, and I just about died inside. And so singing is just a precious thing. I know worship is more than just a song, right? Worship is an offering that we lay our very lives at the feet of Jesus, and we say, come and consume God all we are, right? We're not singing this because it's cute. We're singing this because we need to hear ourselves sing it. We need to sing it to him so that we can learn to, in these moments of song and corporate gatherings, like, agree in spirit with what he wants, what he's looking for out of this. But it's really Monday morning when you walk out of your house how did you wake up that day? And is today, is Monday morning a day of worship for you? Because it should be, you know. I'm gonna say some craziness here, right? Okay. I mean, like, tithing is old covenant, okay? It's not bad. But Jesus wants everything. He doesn't just want 10% of your money. He wants it all. So he's, I'm not saying we shouldn't tithe. I'm saying he wants everything. He doesn't just want 10% of your heart, right? He doesn't just want 10% of my life. 1/7 of my life on Sundays I'll give to Jesus. Yeah. He wants the whole thing. We're in the new covenant. This is a faith thing, right? We don't just live by faith one day a week. Or maybe we do. We shouldn't, right? Okay? So, why? Why is Jesus doing this? Like, why did he do what he did? Why did he leave heaven and come down to earth and die, suffer, die, like, and then go back up? Why did he do that? The why, I think part of that why is found in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus wanted to give the Father what he wanted. Right? Okay? The Father, God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Why did Jesus come? He came to remove the barriers between us and the Father. Right? We now have, through Jesus' blood, we have access to the Father, to the throne in heaven. We don't have to have a priest go in once a year and put blood of animals on an Ark of the Covenant to get into the presence of the Lord. Like, we've got access to that. That was what God wanted. The Father wanted his children to be able to come and sit on his lap and be close to say, I've got this. I'm with you through all the pain. I'm with you through the loss of job. I'm with you through the loss of money. I'm with you through the loss of health. I'm there, right? So Jesus loved the Father so much that he's like, I'm removing all of that for you so that people can worship you, because that's what he wanted. And so if we don't grasp that, the Great Commission even is about worship, right? Because it's not just about singing. This is about our lives being laid on the altar at the feet of God. Like, here I am, do what you want with me. I've made you Lord. I've surrendered control. I mean, these are things we talk about a lot, but are we really willing to, like, get out of the boat? I don't know. I like my comfortable job. I know this feeling. I cried. It was like a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. I was like crying in bed. I was like, God, I just want a job. I just like, why are you doing this to me? Like, why? I keep saying yes. That's why. And I keep breaking down and getting back up. And like, this isn't about me. It's about you. This is about what you want. What do you want? Show me how to give you what you want. Why? Right? We got to get in touch with that. Why do I follow Jesus? Is it just to get a foot into heaven? Or is it to be like him? Go into all the world. Change it. Right? Like, we can't change the world without his strength and his power. We have to be empowered by him to fulfill his purposes. And again, we've got to get this down deep inside that this isn't just stuff we do because we're Christians. This is who we are because we love God, because he loves us. And so we give him what he wants. We don't just do cool stuff so we can pat ourselves on the back. Hey, good job. You guys did worship at the Capitol. Good job, guys. Like, that was weird. It was good. We really enjoyed it, actually. It was a really great experience. So how did we end up worshiping at the Capitol? Lori? Why don't you come up, Sam? So before the pandemic came along, we had done we were a part of a 24-hour prayer and worship event in Belfouche over New Year's of 2020, and then and then we did another one in Belfouche in February 2020. So we were those with that group, we tended to take the 10 p.m. to midnight sets, and so we did our 2 hours of worship, loved it, had a great time. And as we were driving home, it was probably like 1 or 1:30 in the morning, I don't know, you know, we kind of, our family by default tends to be a little more night people than morning people. But we're riding home, we're jamming out this song, "We Will Ride" by the Circuit Riders, "We Will Ride Through the Night with Fire in Our Eyes." Because we just thought it was fun, it was cool, we're just all like headbanging to Jesus, yeah, we're going after you, Jesus, like, and Lori, and she was with me on this trip, I don't think she'd gone to the other one, but we were just singing and praying on our way home, middle of the night, and it was like, boo, like, you need to do a monumental worship event. I was like, okay, you know, typical response from Chris, okay. What is that? Like, what do you mean? Like, you need to go to Mount Rushmore and do a monumental worship event. I was like, okay. Like, wow, sure. You know, like, what does that look like? I don't even know. Like, I'm the guy who wants to just go sing to Jesus alone in a room at 1 a.m. and nobody else has to be there because I don't feel like I'm that good at it, right? I mean, that's like when I love to be with Jesus. I mean, I just, you know, I feel like he likes what we do, but I don't feel like I'm like a professional musician and like this is my job. Like, I mean, it's like I just feel like I want to sing love songs to Jesus, and if I have to paint houses so that I can sing love songs to Jesus, I sure will, you know. Well, the pandemic came along. I was calling people at Mount Rushmore trying to, like, how do you set up events there and do this kind of stuff? And the pandemic came along, and Trump was coming for the 4th of July, and so there's a bunch of construction there, and there's just, like, all this complicated stuff going on at Mount Rushmore. And by the time the pandemic hit, I was just like, well, put that one on the shelf. Like, maybe I just drank too much coffee that day or something. Like, I don't know. I drink a lot of coffee. I actually cut back on coffee this year. It's kind of probably been a good thing for my health, but... that's because I had COVID probably twice. I can't guarantee that was actually twice. And we know we had it once, but sorry if that bothered. We're healthy now, just in case anybody was worried all of a sudden. But nothing tastes normal to me anymore. Like I lost my smell over a year ago, and my taste buds are just wild. And so nothing tastes normal. So coffee doesn't really taste good. Even though it didn't taste that good to me, I was still really dedicated to drinking it for at least a solid year after it didn't taste good, just to show you how much I was, my life was intertwined with coffee. But I just drank tea this morning. I didn't even have coffee today. Like, it's funny, too, because once I went on a coffee fast, and it was like one of the hardest fasts I'd ever done. I mean, I've done some long fasts with just water, and I went on a coffee fast, and mentally it was just like, right at the top of how hard fasts are sometimes. I was just like, I don't even know how that happened. Anyway, sorry. I'm so glad you're here. So I just put this whole like monumental worship thing on the shelf. I just like, it was like, here, I try, like God said it. I was like, okay. And then I was like, I tried, Lord, like shelf that, let it get dusty. Cause I wasn't going to strive after something. I just, you know, like I don't want to just, again, it's not like I want to do this just because I care about me having done something cool. Like, it's just like, who cares? Who cares if I do cool things? I mean, God doesn't care. He wants me to worship him. He's looking for true worshipers. He's not looking for true performers, right? So we're coming after this. My God, if I'm not here to do a show, like, I'm here to turn my heart towards you and pull as many people along with me as I can when I do it. So... texted you. You are cute. Hannah texted her mom and said she's cute. Oh, she's so true. You are cute. I'm so glad you're cute and you're here with me. So So yeah, all of that was, you know, just setting us up for where we're going in life, and we just didn't really understand it. After losing my job, I just knew again, you know, like burn the plow. I was like, I can't go back to that life. But I had no real direction other than just like go to the prayer closet and try and hear the Lord, which is not as easy as it sounds, and you probably understand that, right? Like, God, what do I wear today? I don't even know. Like, should I eat breakfast? I don't know. Should I get a job, please? Can I get a job? Like, again, a lot of that stuff, what I was hearing wasn't making sense, but it was the Lord speaking, and I was just doing my best to walk that out. So we went through this last summer, 2021, God was really moving. He just did a lot of stuff. I mean, we went to 6 states in Washington, D.C., and traveled and did worship, and people were healed in some of the services. We had a lot of testimonies about, like, being set free from depression, anxiety, anger, just all this really great. I mean, we were just singing love songs to Jesus, and he's just doing stuff, right? It wasn't us doing anything other than worship. But we hit last summer, and it was just like, man, we just felt like the hamster wheel started spinning, and we're just like doing all this stuff and not getting anywhere. Like, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to make something happen. I was just like, ah.
We weren't always in unity on it either. Oh, this one's not on. You guys turned it on?
Can we turn that mic on?
So just FYI, I wasn't always excited about this either. I just want you guys to know that it was hard. It's not an easy thing to follow the Lord this way. So,
there's a cost to discipleship. Yeah. You know, I've been talking about being a disciple of Jesus for a while. And when he says, take up your cross and deny yourself and follow me every day, he means it. It isn't a joke. It isn't a cute little statement. If you really want to be a disciple, you got to lay it all down. But what you get when you count the cost is worth it, right? But you can't get what you are supposed to get on the other side if you don't let go of everything.
And you know, we say the hard parts because we want you to know that everybody can follow God's call even when it's hard. Like, it's not just us. Like, everyone goes through hard things to follow the Lord. You just have to say yes. So that's all.
So we go ahead and you can start your part of the story here. Okay. This is great. This is my favorite part because it's her part, and I love it. So we were praying one morning.
One morning we were praying, and we were praying out of desperation, actually, because we didn't have any money, and, you know, it's
again.
A challenge. Again. Well, we had the money story. It's not like we're foolish. It's just that we've had a lot of medical debt from our daughter and just different things. So anyways, and Chris losing his job. So we were just like, what do we do? What do we do? We know we're supposed to go somewhere. We have a family. We're called to do these things. I've tried scrambling and doing all kinds of different things to make money. It didn't work. So we're out of desperation. We're praying for a blueprint from the Lord that morning. And it was a simple prayer. I don't think we spent any major time in intercession or anything.
Like
we just
probably 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah,
we prayed.
Yeah.
It was real prayer.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
we bowed down in our living room and just prayed together before the kids woke up. But that night I went to bed. Well, of course, we both went to bed that night. And I had a dream. I was so excited to tell Chris this dream because when I woke up, it was like I knew this was a dream from the Lord. And I have a lot of dreams. God does speak to me in my dreams. But this was by far the most real dream I think I've ever had like that before. Like the kind of dreams where you hear people talk about them and you're like, I wish I could have those kind of dreams. That was this kind of dream. Okay.
I tell her that a lot, actually.
Thanks, God. But,
yeah, we,
but
we,
even
we
in
wish
the night,
we could
yeah.
have a dream like that.
I still doubt, but okay, the dream. Okay. So I wrote it down, but I saw a map. I have to use my hands because I'm a visual person. But I saw a map of the United States, kind of like you guys would see like an atlas. If you were to open up and not use our Google Maps on our phone, we actually had an atlas, and it was
God's old school.
Yep, the old map. So I'm looking at it this way, and I see out of the center of the map a star from our state, South Dakota, from Pierre, kind of pop out at me. And you know, in my dream, I don't know the stars represent the capitals at this point. Okay, I don't get it in my dream. So I see the star pop out, and then my vision goes up to the left-hand corner of the United States, which would be like Oregon, Idaho, Washington, up in that area. and it popped out of this top state, and then each star would come out of each state as it my mind would go down back to the center. And about halfway down, this like light bulb comes on. I'm like, oh, these are the state capitals. And then I was like, Chris, this is monumental worship. God wants us to go and worship at every state capital in the United States. And then I stopped in my dream and I said, but Lord, why? Because everyone's being called to do this. And then I heard the same phrase that I heard. I had a dream back in November of our family going up and getting ready to lead worship somewhere on the platform somewhere. And when God speaks, I don't hear it, but I know it's a booming voice, you know? And so I heard this voice say, now this is the same phrase, because you bring revival fire everywhere you sing and play. And then I'm going through the dream and some more things happen. And there's a couple of families, and this is important. There's a couple of families that were in my dream. One I didn't even really know that well. And then ones that's been around for many years in our lives. And it was like a sneak attack. I knew we needed to go to the Capitol, get in there, worship. And we were calling these families on the way. We're going to the Capitol. We're going to worship. And whoever showed up, showed up. And it was okay because it didn't need to be advertised. It wasn't something we were trying to make big. It was simply about going into the Capitol and worshiping, because worship shifts the atmosphere. So as we offer up, God changes things out here. And so anyways, I'm going through my dream again, and I question again, like, but why? Because you bring revival fire everywhere you sing and play. And I heard that phrase three times, one different dream and two in this dream. And when God speaks more than three times, you listen to that phrase. And so the lack of confidence we have, it doesn't matter, because the Lord sees us obviously as obedient, as Autumn is saying, and encouraging. So, but I have to say, now going up to the Capitol, the two families that three actually were represented, and but to bring it down to two, the ones that I didn't know very well, I was like, oh, I just went up to them one day after I had this dream, and I said, I don't know. I had this dream, and you guys were in it, and I don't know why. I don't even know you guys all that well. So then time goes by. We get to know these guys. They came. I didn't ask them to come. They were there, and they were there in my dream. And then another family, I remember saying, we got to call this person. We got to call and tell them. In my dream, I was saying this, and Chris was already on the phone with this person in my dream. But that person came. We didn't ask him to come. He's postponing his whole trip to Brazil by a week so he could be there at the Capitol building.
It might have been a month.
And then the other one was a group. I think it's a group of people, and they were also there representing the... Anyways, I didn't put this together. God brought these people to the Capitol, and I just think, yeah, that was it.
So. Yeah, it was super special. So just... if you want to be done for me, you can say, I don't know, whatever you want to do. It's been really interesting to, are we being recorded? Are we live streaming? Okay. All right. So, nah, not really. I just won't use names. But right after this, like in the context of this dream coming, there were a couple of really significant dreams that we had that happened. Like, you know, sometimes we have dreams and it's like God speaking and it's kind of cryptic and you're just kind of like, what did that mean? It's a riddle. Or like, and then you're just like, you know, like, I hope I got that, God. Like, I hope I figured that one out. You know, I hope I interpreted it right and just walked it out faithfully or whatever, you know. And the same week that this dream came, Lori had a dream about a large family that's fairly well known coming to our house with a bus and visiting us. You can say that later, who they are. But we didn't know this family at that point. This is like several years ago. And so our house was up for sale. And we, you know, we're signing papers. We're like, okay, we're going to be out in just a few weeks or whatever, you know. So we're less than a month out from moving. And this family came and visited our house with their bus. Like in the context of this dream. My son, Justice, who plays drums, in the same time period, he had a dream that he played drums at Forerunner Church in Kansas City with the House of Prayer. And so we went there for a Wake in the Dawn conference, and literally Saturday night, 11 p.m., the guy who's running sound, he'd kind of done some interacting with him. A couple of my kids go to IHOP U Online. The sound guy, who's also a drummer, comes up to Justice and is like, we can't find a drummer to play in church tomorrow. Can you play drums? Like, this is Kansas City. There's like a million people around here, right? The IHOP has thousands of people at their disposal to play music, and like nobody could find a drummer for church on Sunday morning at Forerunner Church. And at 11 p.m., Justice gets asked to play. So he's there with Britton Dowdy leading worship with Forerunner Church Sunday morning, then the very next morning. I mean, it was a pretty short night.
They even said that if they hadn't have known we had a dream, or he had a dream about it, he was more peaceful, I guess, when he found out that Justice had a dream about it, because he's like this 14-year-old kid playing drums, and everybody was questioning it, and so then he's like, "Oh, he had a dream? Okay."
Somehow that's encouraging, I guess. Anyway, I just want to put this in perspective. This isn't the only things. Those two were just specifically at the same time frame. Brack had a dream about us getting instruments, and I was given a $4,000 guitar the next week. You know, like, I mean, these are things like God's like, hey, this is important to me, and so we're paying attention to it. Partly, you know, part of our response of obedience is really just like this, like, oh God, you're not making this a secret that this is important, because you're fulfilling these words over our lives that we've held on to sometimes for years and years and years. In this moment, and you recognize this moment is like, this is make or break. It's do or die. I have to take this step out of the boat now, because if I don't take the step out of the boat, either isn't going to happen or somebody else is going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be that guy. I want to lay hold of the reason I was laid hold of. I mean, I want that for my life. I am willing to consider all things as garbage in my past to pursue walking with Jesus as close as I can, step by step, day by day, hand in hand with him. And that's what this is really ultimately all about, that we've recognized that the Father is seeking worshipers, and what he's calling us to do is bring forth not just some cool thing that the Bruce family does, a monumental expression of worship to him. That we want the Father to receive what he sent Jesus to the earth for, and we want Jesus to receive the bride he came and died to purchase so that the Father could have the worship he's looking for. We want this monumental, massive, enduring, lasting effort of worship to be raised up in our nation.
Amen.
Right? I mean, the heart of our nation is hanging in the balance right now. Of where are we going to go? What are we going? Are we going to reject the Lord? Are we going to turn our hearts away? Is our land going to be cursed? Or are we going to say yes? We want the spirit of Elijah. We want to turn the hearts of fathers to children, and even in that, we want to see our hearts turn back to the fathers of our nation. Like, why does America even exist? Part of it is to spread the gospel to the world, to be a light. Like, are we doing that? Have we lost our why as a country? And so God is sending us, for whatever reason, I don't actually totally understand it myself, but he's just said, go to the state capitol. So we're going to do our best. I've been talking with people in California, a little bit in Oregon, Idaho, Washington. I mean, we're working on this. We are gearing up to press into these places. You know, governmental worship wasn't really on my radar. I guess it's a thing. I've heard some people say stuff about it. But, you know, I just want to bring one last thing into the context of it. Is the Tabernacle of David was a night and day expression of worship before the presence of the Lord in the old covenant, but it was really ultimately a new covenant template for how we worship and how we get before the Lord's presence. And it was putting the Ark of the Covenant in view of all people. Instead of a veil to hide it, it was veiled with worship so that God didn't destroy people by seeing it or touching it. I'm sure nobody should touch it because somebody did die when they moved it. But, you know, it was this vision of, like, presence-centered national leadership, right? And so God has some things for our nation, our states, our governors, our president, probably. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure in his own way, we're going to probably rub shoulders with some of these people, but you know what? I'm just me. Like, I don't have to be somebody else. I have to be me. I have to lay hold of who God made me to be. We have to lay hold of who God called us to be as a family, and we have to say yes, and we have to go after this, and we have to make it our life priority. We're not here. I mean, we want to play games. We want to have fun. We love to do music. Like, we have a good time when we do this stuff, but we have a mission from heaven, and so do you. I mean, really, this isn't, again, I say this because, not because I want you to do what I'm doing, as in you all have to go worship at state capitals, but just think of what the church will become when each of us takes our place. When each of us finally says, I lay it all down. I'm yours. Do whatever you want with my life. Here it is. I'll let go of all the stuff. I'm willing to forsake the things that hold me back from obedience. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments, is what he said, right? So we focus on love. We focus on loving him. We focus on getting into his heart, getting into his presence. And then we walk our obedience out. We get that why. Why do you want this? What do you want from me? Why have you chosen me? And then we walk the obedience out much more easily. Not easily, but much more easily. Again, there's sacrifice. Worship isn't worship without sacrifice. Worship isn't worship without sacrifice. Again, this isn't about songs. The songs help us connect our hearts in unity. It's about lives laid at the feet of Jesus, and he's asking you to lay your life at his feet too. Not a single one of us gets left out of that. If we've said yes to salvation, we need to say yes to a little more. Discipleship, right? Sonship. We need to say yes to our bridegroom king. Whatever you want. So, I'm not really good at plans. I think we're going to sing one more song, and then however you want to just, yeah, you can come up and just however you want to dismiss church. Oh, yeah, I have a card. Did you guys get these cards? There's a little QR code. You can go to our website, monumentalworship.com. There's ways to give there. If you go to monumentalworship.com/giving, there's ways to give, support us. We're raising monthly support, all of those things. Thank you. I know a lot of you have already given in the past, and we really just genuinely thankful. You guys are such great hosts. Like, the hospitality you show when we come to Huron is just top-notch, and we're just super thankful for that. We're going to have events posted that we do on here, and I'll probably write some articles about worship. I only have one posted now, but Lord's stirring my heart to do more writing. I just need to get in a space where I can have time to do it. But if you go to the site, there's a way to sign up for that email list at the bottom of the website page. So just go there and check that out. And do you have a Facebook page? We have a Facebook page, and I think we have an Instagram page, although I don't really understand Instagram. Apparently I'm too old for that. But yes, I don't want to just rely on social... Right, my kids... They can figure it out. It's fine. I mean, I don't want to rely entirely on just social media hype. So I'm not trying to push it hard in that direction. I really personally prefer to just use the website, but I just know that sometimes you got to catch people where they are. So yes, we have Facebook.
Okay, so I was going to tell you about this card. I'm so glad you did that because you did much better than me. All right, this is what I feel was in my heart to do. If the worship team, if you guys want to come up, Bruce family, but I really want us to do another worship song, but we're going to take up an offering because I want our church to be part of what's happening in the nation. Like, we got a freebie. We got to be the first ones in right yesterday, and we didn't have to sow into it. We didn't have to give any money for it. It just happened in our capital on Friday, and it was beautiful. But I want to be able to be part of what's going to be happening all across the nation. And the transformation that's going to be happening from that. So we're going to take up an offering in a few minutes. But actually, what was in my heart, guys, and this is why, I mean, I don't know, I guess you can sing if you want to, but I actually, everyone stand up. I want us to receive impartation of like what you guys are carrying on purpose. Like, so you're singing, but I want to have some ministry time. Yeah. You don't have to lay hands on people. You can if you want to, but this is what's in my heart. Like, I've been feeling this for a while. Like, and we've been talking about this a lot through the fall, through our breakthrough weekend. God's laid some assignments before us as a church that are costing us something, and they're going to cost us something. Mm-hmm. And he's laid some assignments in for us, for the city, but also for the nations of the earth, for being part of what's going on in the 1040 window in unreached people groups. And I've had this sense for about 6 months, like, this might be the hardest thing we've ever done. And I know that it's sobering for me, myself. And I've also felt like I want Chris and Lori to like lay hands on me, because I've also felt like a fear, like, what if I can't do the assignment, you know? What if I don't? What if I quit saying yes? Because sometimes it really stinks. And sometimes when you say yes and it hurts, you know, there's just like, there's pain in it. There's weight in it sometimes. And it costs you things. And as a congregation, like, I want the grace of God that will never quit saying yes. Like, never. And when things get super tough and persecution increases over the entire earth, we're still going to be smiling because we know who we serve. And we're going to still be saying yes when it costs more and more and more and more to say yes. That we already made that decision a long time ago. We're going to be a people who are going to say yes to God. We're going to do hard stuff for his glory, because it's all about him.
You know, can I tag
yeah,
on you?
Yeah, please.
So one thing, I don't know how many of you guys have watched The Chosen before, okay? The Chosen, we're fans. But anyways, on one of the scenes, Mary's talking about to another gal in the show, Rhema, and she's packing her bag. Every morning she packs her bag. And Rhema looks at her and says, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, I'm packing my bag because I never know when we're moving on to the next place, so I've just learned to pack it every morning." And Rhema says, "Well, that must be hard." And she says, "Yes, but it's worth it to follow him." And it is hard, but it's worth it to follow him.
So if you just feel it in your heart, like you're like, I want a deeper yes. I want a deeper willingness. I just want you to, like, maybe step into the aisle or something. I just feel like we need to move. Like, sometimes if we had more of an altar space, Lord knows we'd use it, wouldn't we? Someday we may build on. But why don't you step into step into the aisle. Step into the back. Step into the front area here. You can come on up here. There's some room up here. Use it. You can come on up to the front and worship. But we're just going to say, like, for those that really, this is on your heart, like, I need a deeper yes. I want a deeper, like, willingness in my spirit to go where the Lamb tells me to go. Then we're just going to worship him, stepping out of our comfort zone. And we're going to say, God, there's going to be grace for the assignment. We just believe that you give assignments and you give grace when we cry out to you to say yes and to be steady.
Lord, release your grace, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Grace to say yes, God. Grace to turn our hearts to you, to trust you with our hearts, God.
Beautiful thing about Jesus is he's omnipresent. So we're up here singing, but Jesus is actually walking among you guys and touching each person. And your yes and your obedience to even step out in the aisle is just, he loves that. He's so proud. He's a beaming father at this point. Look at my people giving me a yes. I love them. I love this. I love this.
So I had a picture. I see the Lord over some of you. There were assignments you dropped, like, in the past, and I saw the Lord reach back behind you, pick it up, and, like, lay it before you again. It's just his mercy. His mercy. And, like, right now, some of you are, like, literally things are coming into your heart and your mind. You're like, whoa, I thought I kind of messed up on that. I gave up on that, or I thought the time was past, and I could never do it. And I just feel like the Lord, like, if that's you, like, just take the gift. The gift is, it's another chance on the assignment, you know, on something that dropped. It's on something that fell in the past. And the Lord's like, no, 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 no. I'm not done with that. I'm giving it right back to you. I know how to do this. I'm going to give it right back to you right now. We're just going to walk it out. Lord, do it right now. God, we break off shame and guilt and condemnation and from times that we felt like we failed him. And Lord, we believe you. We believe that you really do forgive us. You really do give us second and third and fourth and 100 chances and 1,000,000th chance. Lord, you're just amazing. You're amazing, God. We just say faith right now to grab a hold of it again, to cherish what you're giving us, Lord.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? Oh, I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end. You again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing. Just one move with my arms stretched wide. I will worship you.
Sing it again. I've got one.
I've got one response. I've got just one move with my arms stretched wide. I will worship you. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a and pray.
off your minds and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, a hallelujah. I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for my heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Father God, I just pray that you would touch each person here, God, that's just said yes in their heart. They've said yes among hard circumstances. They've said yes among a joyous time in their life. But God, it doesn't matter what season we say yes, and you're just thrilled that we're saying yes. And it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. You just love our yes, and you can put us to, you can use us when we just say yes. Yes, I will. I will. I will follow you. I will lay down my agenda and my life and the things that I want for your will, God, because it's so worth it. It's so worth it serving you, Jesus. Pray you'd equip each person here, God, that you'd give them what they need, God. Put gifts in their hands. Everybody, just, I saw you guys holding out your hands. Just hold out your hands before the Lord. It's actually really biblical, you know, to hold our hands out before him. And I just think he's going to place a gift in your hands. I picture the Chronicles of Narnia. Santa Claus comes and he gives each of the, if you've ever seen it, Santa Claus in the movie comes and he gifts the four kings and queens of Narnia their gifts to fight the enemy, to be equipped with what they need for what they've been called to do in the movie. And I just see God giving you what you need to be equipped to do what it is that's on your heart that he's called you to do. So God, I just pray that you would just put the gifts in their hands. God, that you would just equip them. You would equip them with what they need, Lord Jesus, to continue to say yes. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, God, I just know that you'll raise up a standard against him. And that, God, you've got each person here in the palm of your hands. And you're giving them what they need to say yes and to keep going in that yes.
Abba, would you clothe us with power from on high? Clothe us with power from on high. Clothe us in your righteousness. We give you our lives, God. We lay down at your feet an offering of worship.
Praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, a hallelujah. I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king except for this heart singing.
Really want us to give. Like, I feel like that's a really important moment, part of our worship also. And so if the ushers could just kind of like step into a seat just for a moment here. It'll only take a minute. We just want to give opportunity for let's just pray right now. Holy Spirit, just take a moment. All that matters is that you're obedient to God. Lord, Holy Spirit, right now, I pray you drop amounts in our heart. We just want to be obedient to you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray there would be joy, 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 joy in the giving.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, ushers. And this offering, 100% of this offering is actually going to Chris and Lori Bruce and their family. Okay, that's what this offering is. Go ahead and pass the baskets. Oh, no, make checks out to James River Church. It's irritating to get 50 checks and a bunch of cash handed to you. It's easier if we can just write them one big check. Big check. Huge check.
She said that last time, too.
That'd be cool.
I just want to say we just love you guys. It's fun coming here. We feel like this is family. The kids walked in and the little ones said, we just have so much fun when we come here. We love it here. We have so many good memories.
So. And there's 150 children. Well, not really, but we love it.
Bless you guys.
Thank you. We love you guys so much. Come out on Tuesday if you want to. Tuesday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. worship night. God bless you guys. Have a good Sunday.